think it's, yeah, it's working now. Yeah, thank you very much. I will just react quickly to what you said, because I think that lawyers are the catalyzers of these protections, right? It's everything we have at this moment in cases and judges that have been resolving and recognizing slaps is because lawyers have brought this argument since the very early stages of the process. So I would say that answering to your question, I mean, a very practical approach, we have listened to judges, we have listened to lawyers, and I would say that we need to see this exactly as a multi-pronged approach on how to address it, because how we build standards or set standards is part of the role that international organizations do, but obviously with that collaboration of lawyers and journalists and the media at national level. And I want to emphasize the standard setting process, not just because we are here, but also because it has real implications in the setting of standards at regional and national level. And a very concrete example is the Human Rights Council resolution on the safety of journalists of 2020 that was mentioned in the Inter-American Court resolution in 2021 that recognizes LAPS for the first time. And the Inter-American Court outlined concrete ways of identifying this type of lawsuits. So this is like a trickling effect that has setting standards and how international, regional, and national organizations should work together to continue strengthening these measures. The other thing I would like to say is the different groups that are organizing at regional level are having a huge impact in setting these standards and developing good practices with lawyers, with human rights organizations, with media journalists and journalists. So in this case, we have, for example, the Case Coalition in Europe. We have Article 19 is leading a regional coalition in Latin America, where we are outlining exactly what are the needs, because as it has said before, the legal contexts are different, and the different responses will need to be also contextualized to the different manifestations of these lawsuits in each country. And that's why, and in this context, regional coalitions, civil society, and organizations of journalists need to sit and work together. But I would also like to emphasize that we need lawyers and practitioners, because most of the time we just talk journalists and civil society, but judges and lawyers are more difficult to get into the group when we talk about these regional coalitions and how to address this particular issue. Another thing I would say is that we need to address the under-reporting of the cases, and this comes tied with a clear definition and conceptualization, because this will let us identify, as I said at the beginning of this event, what are the adequate responses, because if you don't have independence in the judiciary, any anti-SLAPP measures will have no sense whatsoever. So it's exactly how civil society and organizations can work together to do this. And obviously, I would say that lawyers need a lot of support, financial support, because litigating a case can take many years, and it's very expensive. And many organizations working in these coalitions are already providing the support, but this is also maybe a call for governments that provide cooperation support to be able to continue providing this legal aid, because it's how the cases are getting into national, regional, and international courts, and setting the standards and the protections that we need to address this issue. So going to the second question of what's the balance of the existing legislation or the existing practices, I think a lot has been said already, and what I would maybe just reiterate is that as we move into identifying clearly what's legal harassment, what's slaps, what's judicial harassment, because most of the times it's also conflated, what's exactly other manifestations of abusing the process, this exact practice and exercise of civil society and judges is the one that will tell us what are the laws that can effectively function in each context. Because we have, for example, a proposal right now in Costa Rica that wants to start promoting anti-SLAPP measures. And the problem that we have in the region is that everyone is talking about SLAPPs, but we also have a huge problem of non-independent judiciary. So I would say that before going into anti-SLAPP measures, we need to address the issue of the judiciary, the same in Guatemala, right? So the case of Rubén Zamora has been very critically addressed as a judicial harassment, and it came into the conversation of SLAPPs, and we're like, hold on, we need to talk about the judiciary first. But there are many other countries, as I mentioned, Colombia, that has very strong, a very strong constitutional court that uses the international standards on freedom of expression and uses very clearly the develops establishing the way in which courts should be addressing it. I can tell you that the balance for me would be that the practices and the procedural measures that exist in the US or in Canada, or right now in the European Union, cannot be immediately transferred to other contexts. And that's why I repeat and I always say that we need to work with journalists, with lawyers and judges in each context to find the best and more effective ways of addressing the issue.
Thank you, Polina, for this and for